Paul addresses the church in Corinth in this way, starting from verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest of God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. If we are of sound mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has commended to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The word of the Lord. We live in troubled times. I think that is obvious for the last news that we've had these last weeks. We not only live in troubled times because of evil that goes around in the entire world, be it war, violence, but we live in troubled times regarding our culture. It seems that every way you turn, you hit a nerve of someone. You're always having to step on eggshells not to offend anyone. And I'm not talking about being a Christian and not offending culture. I'm talking about even in Christian realms, everybody has an opinion of everything. And I'm not talking of social media, because depending on what social media you follow, you either are part of those who are always lashing out at someone and giving your opinion on something, or you're one of those that are quietly reading what everybody else has opinions about. And it seems that with all this that we have been living through as a society and as Christians, we have become somewhat numb. We hear things that just don't seem to matter anymore. It seems that sometimes lives don't seem to matter that much anymore. A few comments we hear in just chit-chat, may it be between the time you go for a coffee at work or going by someone in the halls of your institutions where you study, or even at home when you hear news and you comment something with your family, it seems that we have become numb, or we have normalized what should never have been normal. And we seem to go with it, just as Americans or Brazilians or both, like I am. And not only in society, but even as a church, we live in troubled times because it seems that we are always in battle with something. It's been difficult to just relax and enjoy grace. Even in church, we have opinion about everything. How should be baptism? Or how should we approach evolution or creationism? And I don't mean to make you have a knee-jerk reaction, but if we talk about race, gender, and so many other things, it seems that we never can just relax and focus on what we have received from God in Christ, and also present that to the world. That numbness or that reactionary, constant, verbal assessment of everything seems to be the norm nowadays. But not only nowadays, but it seems that in Paul's time, that was already a problem. Because in Paul's time, especially the church of Corinth, they also had little divisions. You know, I'm from Paul. No, I'm from Apollos. No, I'm from Christ. And Christ is more than both of them. Or is it okay if we do this? Or should we really feel more spiritual if we're doing that other thing? Can we eat that kind of meat or not? And it always seems that we have opinions about so many things, and the core issue, the pearl of great price, the most important subject, seems to constantly be put aside because of all these other discussions. And then when we're called on that, and I include myself on all that what I've just said, when we're called on that, we say, oh, no, yes, yes, and there's grace, of course. And to the church of Corinth, Paul seems to call them out of this numbness, re-emphasizing his own calling as an ambassador of Christ, but with one particular core teaching that transformed and revolutionized his life. That is the reconciliation to God through Christ. I would like to just have a chat with you guys today regarding that, using 3 points. First, renewed reckoning. Second, royal representation. And thirdly, the revolution of reconciliation. And with these, my attempt is to really think together of why are we as a church where we are? How should we operate as individuals, as part of the body of Christ in South Florida, and our interactions without the numbness or without the incendiary comments? Paul seems to present the reconciliation with God through Christ as the center core revolution in his life. Because he says in the text that everything was changed, shifted because of that reckoning. And because of those new lenses that he put on, the reconciliation with God through Christ, even his view of God changed. Remember, Paul was a persecutor of the church, and he did that because of his perceived strict observance of the law. He wasn't just a nonchalant follower of Yahweh. He was serious about it. He was going to follow God and God's commandments, even to the point of condemning to death people like Stephen, who was a heretic. However, the vision of Paul, his theology, the vision Paul had of God himself was totally changed by the fact of Jesus Christ being sacrificed in order that the world might be reconciled to God. Not only his vision of God changed, but his vision of humanity changed, because from a persecutor, he became one that was pleading to Gentiles, be reconciled to God. And we're not talking about westernized, Christianized Gentiles like we are. We're talking about pagans. Like idol worshiping pagans. You know those that we abhor from South Beach? Those are Christians. Oh, you might not believe they're Christians, but those are pretty much Westerner crazy Christians, or Westerners like we are. Paul's talking about sharing the message of reconciliation to pagans, heathenists. And Paul seems cool about it because his vision of humanity changed. In his anthropology was now based on, we are all sinners and far short of the glory of God. However, God has given us grace in Christ Jesus and reconciled through him all things. So his vision of humanity also changed. So his reckoning of others changed totally as well. But his vision of himself also changed. Paul is the one that calls himself not one other sinner, but the worst of all. And all those changes came upon Paul because of one reality that transformed his inner being, and the way he viewed the world transformed his worldview totally. The realization of the reconciliation with God through the sacrifice of Christ. That change of mindset pushed Paul into recognizing his position in the world after Christ. He could not just be a passive person anymore. He couldn't remain being a persecutor. He was called for a royal representation. Because of being reconciled to God through Christ, Paul now had a new role as a human being. He was an ambassador of Christ. And in defending his own calling as an apostle, he puts himself as a representative of God himself, or a little Christos. A Christian, one that personally represents Christ wherever he was. And he says that on his role as an ambassador of Christ, he was pleading and representing Christ and pleading, be reconciled to God. My family and I had the privilege of, in the late 2000s, is that how you say it? Late 2000s? 2007 or so, I was pastoring International Baptist Church in Brasilia, which was a church of 37 different ethnicities. And these 37 different ethnicities were mostly diplomats in Brasilia, which is the capital of Brazil. So I was always stepping on eggshells because I never knew what would really pull a nerve with someone. But it was interesting that these counselors and ambassadors that were part of this church, and I was this young, right after seminary pastor, very fresh and full of these plans and all that, and shaking every Sunday because I never knew who was going to be there, and I knew I was beneath who they were. At least I thought that. I maybe didn't have the vision of Christ that Paul had already. They would chat to one another at church on Sunday while their guards were down. But there we had people from the American embassy, and then we had some people that from enemy states that could not really interrelate with the American diplomats. And it was interesting that they would be great friends from start of service to when they sit by on the parking lot at church. And then from Monday to Saturday, they were representing their government. Therefore, they really couldn't interchange that much with each other. They were brothers and sisters of Christ. However, their mindset of representing that particular state defined who they were when they were invested in their diplomatic functions. I think sometimes we forget that in being ambassadors of Christ, we are invested by who He is wherever and whenever we are. We represent Christ on every single word we say, be it online or in chit-chat conversations. The way we gaze at people, or the way we measure people with our eyes, says something about Christ. The way we do not relate to people says something about Christ, because we are His representatives. You might say, oh, but I'm a sinner. God, in His infinite wisdom, chose you and I and Paul to be His representatives as His body in South Florida. So the question is, how are we doing? How are we representing Christ? It's interesting that N.T. Wright says this about being the representative of Christ. Our task as image-bearing, God-loving, Christ-shaped, Spirit-filled Christians following Christ and shaping our world is to announce redemption to a world that has discovered its fallenness, to announce healing to a world that has discovered its brokenness, to proclaim love and trust to a world that knows only exploitation, fear, and suspicion. Paul uses everything he is to announce one thing. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. How are we doing? Paul has a revolution that happens in his own life because of that reckoning. And I believe that even though we might have walked with the Lord so many years, we might need, as Christians worldwide, a new revolution. Or, as they say, a revival. A revolution that would put in the forefront reconciliation to God through Christ. And maybe put as secondary issues all the other knee-jerk reaction issues that we have had in society. Name it whatever you want. According to Bonhoeffer, when speaking about this revolution, he says, no abyss of evil can remain hidden from Him through whom the world is reconciled to God. But the abyss of the love of God embraces even the most abysmal godlessness of the world. in an incomprehensible reversal of all righteousness and pious thought, God declares himself as guilty towards the world and thereby extinguishes the guilt of the world. So we have a message that has the potential of transforming lives. And multiple times a day, instead of living out as an ambassador of Christ with the forefront message of reconciliation, we thicken the choir of whatever society is going through. While we could just be agents of reconciliation, of grace, presenting people face to face with God himself and Jesus Christ. I can only imagine how revolutionary it would be if we were to live out our Christian lives as Paul lived out his. And having the idea of reaching and becoming whatever necessary for someone to come to the full knowledge of Christ. I can only imagine if we were to have the same reckoning or idea that Bono Vox had while writing the words for Where the Streets Have No Name. And I know you might not consider Bono Vox Christian, even though he is, and he is pretty vocal follower of Christ, even though of a different tradition than ours. But he puts it this way, in sharing how he longs to have his friend where the streets have no name. I'll show you a place high on the desert plain where the streets have no name, and I'll go there with you. We will partake today in the Lord's Supper while we celebrate this reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. And we know that we have received this through grace, no merit on us. But every once in a while, we choose the ones that we consider being worthy of the gospel. And I might be overstepping here, so you can always talk to either John or to TJ or Ronaldo and ask me not to speak anymore. That's always a possibility. But what if we stop choosing who God can save or not? That could be a new thought. What if we could just stop categorizing people between the different ghettos that our culture has built? And we can have just one big ghetto. Sinners. What if we go to this ghetto as one of them, which we are, and become ambassadors of Christ in foreign land because we have been rescued from there. But in foreign land, preaching the word of reconciliation, not a word of hate, not our opinion on guns, not an opinion on gender, not our opinion on race, but pleading with people be reconciled to God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are not and we will never be worthy of your grace. And we have no words to bless you and worship you for choosing to sacrifice your own son in order that we might have life. And today we celebrate exactly that as we partake of the bread and the wine, as we remember the sacrifice that set us free. Remind us daily of that cost. And remind us daily of the role that you have bestowed on us as your representatives to rescue those that are still blind. Lord, we plead that you would cause discomfort to us, and that we might change our ways in ways that might glorify your name in bringing multitudes and multitudes to the reckoning of the reconciliation that you have given us through Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.